You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Welcome back to Daycare Overhaul. I am Justina Patterson.
I'm Caroline Jens, and we are live from Miami.
And doing childcare better.
We are doing childcare better. And today we have a really fun guest with us, and her name is Heidi, and she's from Leap Academy in Madison. Heidi is the curriculum director. And Heidi, do you want to say hi?
I would love to. Hello, and thank you for having me. This is my first podcast, but I have a lot to say.
Great.
A lot to say about early childhood education, coming at it from a teacher perspective, coming at it from a director perspective. In my over 25 years in the industry, I've done a little bit of everything in home, in someone else's home. I've worked for NACE accredited centers, NAC accredited centers. I've worked with in classrooms with one other teacher and in facilities up to 25 staff members. So I think I have a real diverse amount of experience and knowledge that I would love to share. Some good insights.
Perfect.
We're going to extract all that.
Okay.
As we dive into this podcast. But hey, I got to tell a funny little story to our audience of what's happened since we... So if people don't know, because we're actually not filming today, we're just recording our vocals today, because we are in a hotel room in Miami. We are here at a childcare conference that is called Shift, and it's brought on, Hinge is the one that's organizing the conference, and this is, I think, our third year here. And we're in a hotel room, and I go to put the Do Not Disturb sign on the door because Maddie, our video producer, is kind of very strict about the different procedures we need to do before we have our podcast.
And we don't need housekeeping coming in here. That might be a little funny if they were to knock on the door and come try to clean the room.
Well, and there was a gentleman out there in the hallway vacuuming. So we couldn't start our podcast, obviously, if there was vacuuming outside the door. So I go to put the Do Not Disturb sign on the door and tell the guy that we don't need him vacuuming in the hallway right now. And I think he thought I was propositioning him because he saw the three of us come into our room and then probably thought I had the Do Not Disturb sign and...
Who knows what was going to happen?
It's Miami.
But I will say, this room is beautiful because we can literally see the ocean out the window.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so if you ever get the opportunity to go to a conference in Miami, definitely do that. But let's dive in. Unless you have any...
I actually have a little, a quick funny story. Side note, I'm also a certified children's yoga instructor, and I'm very interested in the mindfulness, meditation, karma type of mindset. And so the very first panel of speakers down here, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure there's anything down here for me as a director. It seemed more geared towards owners and growing your business. And the first panel that came on the stage, one of the gentlemen introduced himself, and I won't say what brand, I don't know if I can, but he is in Minnesota, and it is the same childcare company that I started with almost 30 years ago. My very first job out of school, my husband
oh my
and I
goodness.
Moved to Minnesota, and I worked for this company, so it felt like full circle. It felt like this is where I'm meant to be right now, and there was that person who basically his company launched my career in early childhood education that spanned almost 30 years on and off. So
that is so
it was like it was meant to be. You're
like
yep,
coming
that's a sign.
Home, a meant to be here. And he did a wonderful job kicking it off. So I thought that was a good sign. Good
did
sign.
You do yoga on the beach?
I have not done yoga on the beach yet. I'm also a sleeper inner. So it was dark outside when they were doing yoga. I would love to try it tomorrow morning though.
So I did get to do yoga on the beach. Not this morning, but yesterday,
right.
And
yeah. It
was gorgeous to do yoga in the sand as the sun was mm-hmm. rising and the mm-hmm. waves were crashing up on the beach. Oh, it was
beautiful.
Amazing. So
Good way to start your day.
Yeah, and that's really just a great affirmation that you're here, you're in the right spot, and we are really honored to have you.
Thank you.
You know, Maria, the owner of Leap Academy, was gracious enough to say, yes, go ahead. You know, Heidi's such a great resource. We'd love to share her. And that's one of the things that we love to do on Daycare Overhaul, mm-hmm. is be a resource to child care centers.
Right. Love it.
To help them do child care better. Great. And so today's topic is on... You know, kind of in a nutshell, is influencing change, mm-hmm. in your childcare staffing. And we're going to ask you just some questions to prompt some answers, sure. from you. And, perfect. You know, feel free to share with our listeners your experience, great. And what you've done. Because you've done some amazing things at Leap Academy.
Done a lot. Yes, yes.
So I'll start with maybe... You know, what are you seeing in terms of trends in your childcare staffing situation?
Well, generally, my belief as a curriculum director and someone who has taught for, like I said, over 25 years, is it really begins and ends with good teachers. I've worked at centers and I've worked with co-teachers where maybe they weren't the best of the best. But those families came back year after year, kept enrolling their children for the teachers. Now, if we're fortunate, we have... great all throughout the ranks. But when you think about those 9-10 hours a day and who they're entrusting their children to, that's what will build a really strong child care center, is it's the teachers. So you can have the shiniest building, great new materials, a wonderful outside play area, but I feel like if your foundation of strong teachers and teachers who really, really know littles and build those great relationships, starting with the children and then the rest of the family, I think we're lost if we don't have that as our foundation. So I am fortunate enough that I get to devote my career at this point in my life to helping develop those teachers.
And you have two locations, right, that you're working with both?
Yes, yep. And then I also have another school that I partner with just one day a week, and that's a school that I taught at for 8 years prior. So another thing that I love about Maria and that I'm finding that I love about this industry, and I heard it a couple of times already this week, is that we are stronger together. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's competition in any given market, but I feel like we're in a situation, especially now, where there just isn't enough good quality childcare to go around. We can all succeed and we can all learn from one another. So that's what I love about Leap Academy and the other school that I partner with also, the Madison location, the Wanakee location, is that a lot of schools don't have a curriculum director yet. So I get to be at one school one day and then go to another school the next day and spread that out a little bit until we can get to a point where maybe someday everyone will have one of those on staff to support the teachers.
Yeah, I know throughout the years, you know, at our center that we used to run, we actually did have a curriculum, mm-hmm. director.
Yeah.
And not initially. Initially, we had the typical, you know, director, assistant director.
Right.
And that was all we had. And we found that... we really wanted to emphasize the curriculum and helping the teachers be the best teachers that they could.
Yeah.
And having a resource like you was, right. that was really life-changing, right. for our program.
And that looks different in every classroom. It's not that I am sitting in an office somewhere developing a curriculum. Every school that I've partnered with believes in either a play-based curriculum, emergent curriculum, curiosity curriculum. We heard the term today, I think, passion... I can't remember what else how she included that. But so I think we're very child-driven in what our curriculum looks like. So that will be very different from room to room. There's not a canned curriculum that we're using. We are letting the children drive that in their interests and their abilities.
So you've had to navigate in terms of, because Leap Academy purchased another center that you had to then rebrand back to Leap Academy.
Right.
And so you had to navigate that change in, you know, the existing staff.
Right.
Influencing them now to be Leap Academy staff.
Yes.
And now as new hires come in, you know, they're coming in and is a challenge just getting them to stay.
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of challenges. It is getting them in. But what I'm finding is, and I'm hearing this hiring crisis and hiring shortage right now, and I'm not saying that doesn't exist. But what I'm seeing a little bit more at the schools that I'm working at is that we're getting some good candidates, but what are we doing with them from that first day on? What does that first day look like? I know that we need to get teachers in rooms, and I respect that to stay on ratio, but I think if we can back it up a little bit and really plan for that first day, for that first week, and get them to buy into our culture and get to know our kids and get to know the families, that we will win their hearts over. And from there, we've got a lot of time to help develop them. But it's getting them buying in from those first few days and what those first few days, weeks look like.
Right.
And I think, you know, you mentioned the hiring crisis that we're all talking about. And yes, you need the staff in the classroom. But if you've already worked with them without them for however long to get them in there, what's an extra couple of days
right.
to just really get them involved and make sure that they're comfortable? Like, I think that that would be okay, and that's important, like you said, yes. to do that.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, getting people, because, you know, hiring and the salary, the wages that right. we have to pay is a challenge. So what are you doing specifically beyond the paycheck?
Beyond the paycheck. I love that phrase.
Wait, that's not my phrase, by the way. That was your phrase.
She's like, yeah, I love it because I thought of it.
I do love it. And I think that anyone out there listening, whether you're a director or a teacher or potentially a teacher, we all realize that there kind of is a finite amount that a particular center can pay. So I would challenge directors and I would challenge potential teachers to think, you like to have that number in mind of what you want to make, what that paycheck is going to be. And as a owner or director, you have a number in mind of what you can offer. But then thinking of beyond the paycheck, of what's important to you, what matters most to you. And I think back to a school that I was most recently at, and I was teaching children's yoga on Friday. I had started my own company. I didn't want to give that up. So I went in with the mindset of, I can compromise a little bit more on the hourly wage if this director would work with me and allow me to continue to have my Fridays off. I also had 3 children in college at the time, and I knew Fridays was a day I was going to be asking off a lot to go see them. So that was one of my must-haves. I like to go into something. I love it when people come into an interview with here's my 3 things that I must have. Some people really need to make a certain dollar amount to make it worth it. So lead with that. That's your must-have. For some people, that's job flexibility. You know, if they have littles, and if their children are sick, they don't want that battle every day. So I think we have to take a more individualized approach to what that looks like and find out, beyond the paycheck, what is this person's currency? We have some people at Leap Academy that have been there for 5 or 6 years, and they really are like a family, and I know that's what keeps them there. That is what mm-hmm. keeps them coming back on those really difficult days. They don't want to let each other down, and they've also become each other's person. So it's mm-hmm. you've got your friend there that you care about and that you share things with. So I think we kind of have to take a real close look at that when we're hiring and also when we're onboarding. And then as time goes on, those needs might change. What becomes important to someone at first, they might have been with you for 2 or 3 years by now. And then what becomes important to them is taking on a larger role,
right.
a more meaningful role in your company. So really staying in touch with what matters.
I know, I remember back when my son was still in child, so he just started school, so he might have been in 1st or 2nd grade, and so he still needed childcare, mm-hmm. you know, and they didn't bus. And so what was really important to me at the time was I had to take a late lunch in the day.
Right.
I had to take a late lunch, drive to a school, pick him up, and then take him over to the childcare center.
Right.
And I needed to do that 5 days a week. Nothing else in my job would suffer, but I just needed right. my lunch to not be at like 11 o'clock. It needed to be at 2:30. Yeah. And you're right. You know, that for me, that was 1 year of my life. And so, you know, that following year, I had a complete different must have.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact of, you know, adding that as an interview right. question.
Okay. So speaking of interview questions, this is that rabbit hole right, we talk about right. that I will probably go down frequently. I took at UW-Milwaukee, I hope I can say that. Can I say that?
You can.
I took a training, and it was called Train the Trainer. And it was about mentoring and how, whether you're a veteran teacher, a curriculum director, a director, you know, ways that we can expand in our mentoring and training roles. And one tool that they had that I am a really, really big fan of is called the stay interview. So you've got your interview to get someone in the door, and a lot of us do an exit interview to find out why someone is leaving. How about we do a stay interview? So what's important to you now? Justina, why are you still here? What do you like about your job? What has changed for you? Because that will change sometimes from year to year. So I think that's a really important thing to do. I like combining it with a staff portfolio, much like we do for the children, to kind of highlight what their strengths are and then show us where some of those gaps are for opportunity, and then talk with them about why are you still here? What has been working well for you? And if you were going to leave, why? You know, what more could we do? And that doesn't mean catering to the teachers 24/7.
Right.
I think some
right.
directors are afraid of that. If we give them too much of what they want, they will have, you know, control over us. And there's so many relationships that parallel the teacher-child interactions. And I found that as a parent that if I could let my kids win as much as possible, if I could say yes as much as possible, whether that's as a parent or a teacher or now as a curriculum director, it usually serves me really well. I try to say yes as much as possible.
So how often would you do a stay interview?
I would think that it kind of depends. And they're new to us. We haven't done them much yet. But when you were referencing me starting at Leap Academy and then us taking on the Madison school also, that was really important to me coming in. I needed to know these teachers that had already been here for a while. Why have you stayed? What do you like about this? And then what opportunities are there for us? So that was a really important tool for me as I was getting to know people. And now that I've been there longer, I would like to revisit it. And I don't really like it to be a part of their annual review.
Right.
To me, those
right.
are two really different things.
Very different.
So I think we're just playing with that a little bit of how often we will do that.
Yeah, we speak a lot about intentional touches, you know, in terms of with your families and with your employees. And I just feel like that's another one of those ways to do that intentional touch where you're constantly keeping a pulse on the health of your organization.
Yeah.
And that's one way of doing it.
I agree. And I gave the ones that I handed out initially, I said, you don't have to do this. This isn't a mandatory thing. But a lot of those check-ins that teachers will have with directors are really short. They're meant to be about a 10-minute check-in. Tell me what's happening in your room. Do you need something from me this week? And this is really meant to be more of a reflective tool for them. They can take it home and really think about it. And then I like to carve out whether that's a morning coffee or a lunch with someone and then sit down and talk about it. It's a unique role for a curriculum director, too, that I get to build those relationships in that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important because, you know, we talk so much about relationships and culture. And if you didn't take the time to seek them out and schedule that coffee or that lunch, probably outside the center to really get to know them, I think that you would lose some of that. So scheduling that time with them and showing them how important they are and that you really care about them and like it matters and you want to talk to them and have a conversation, you might find out even more about them than, you know.
You always do. You always do. Were either of you at the speaker that said, I'm trying to think of how she referenced, oh, I know, it was last night. She said, you will be amazed at what someone is willing to do for someone that they really care about.
Oh, that's so
you
true.
You know, and I think it is. I understand a director's role in that at some point you have to call someone out who is continuously 10 minutes late or not showing up for their shift. So you can't always be everybody's best friend.
Right.
So I'm not looking to be their best friend, but I do think in many situations when there is a supervisor, a boss, a mentor, a co-teacher that I really care about personally, that I'm invested in, I am willing to do so much more for them. And I do it with an open heart. I want to do that for them. So that is my ideal relationship to cultivate with staff.
Well, and I love that mindset too, because I do know people listening in on this, I'm sure they're saying, you know, we can't give them everything they want. Yeah. And it really is about building relationships. And I don't know if you experienced this when you first started as a curriculum director, where the teachers maybe don't necessarily trust you.
Oh my gosh.
They don't trust that you're there to support them. So you have to kind of, you have to build those relationships in order to gain their trust.
Absolutely.
And really your ultimate goal is you want to make their jobs easier. You want to make them be better at their jobs.
Right, right. I say when I go in somewhere, and it's not that I've gone in somewhere 15 times yet, but when I go in meeting a new staff or meeting a new team member, I like to, without boring them too much, give them a little bit of insights as to what I loved about being a teacher and the things that kept me there. My own little internal stay interview, right? And it was the Fridays off. We've talked about that. It was, you know, supportive, caring coworkers, and I've been blessed to have those. But it also, and sometimes directors don't like to hear this from me, but I'm just being really real and honest. It also was those days where I felt like I could kick back with a cup of coffee and just enjoy watching what I had worked so hard to build in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And not only did it just, oh, it makes me teary, bring me joy, because it did, it brought me just true joy to see that. It also made those really hard days easier. I just thought, oh, these are the days when I can coast, talk with my coworker, love on these three-year-olds, and I want to build that for every teacher that I work with, regardless of what classroom they're in, because I know some of them are making barely enough to pay the bills.
Right.
And I know how hard it is to chase around after 14 two-year-olds, and you feel like you are just doing nothing but, you know, refereeing and changing diapers. So I am firmly, firmly committed to building that for those teachers, mm-hmm. where even on those hard days, you just love coming in. And then on those easy days, you can enjoy it.
Well, I'm emotional.
I know. I'm sorry. We're all like teary-eyed here.
There's no Kleenex nearby. No, I just, this is a sidebar, but to mm-hmm. see someone that's so passionate about what they do, you know, that is a huge blessing to love what you do so much that you're just giving your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's representative of the culture that you're yeah. building. You and Maria and the rest of your team, you know, you're really working hard on building a culture, and you're influencing change, and right. it's all really good change. And it's hard, hard work.
Yeah.
You know, childcare, we've met, is just not easy. No. If it's easy for you, you're probably not doing it right.
Right. Right.
Well, it's not easy, but it's stressful, and it's emotional, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if it isn't hard, so to speak, it's like that, the emotional level
right.
can be really taxing and right. exhausting. And
yeah, and maybe you've just grown cold to
right.
you know what's really going on yes. around you. So another problem, and we kind of touched on it a little, but you know, getting people to not only show up for interviews, but then once they are hired,
right.
you know, so we put all this beautiful stuff on our career pages.
Mm-hmm.
We write these amazing ads because we've been doing a lot of training on that yep. lately. And we're telling people that we are this kind of company.
Right.
This is our culture. This is the kind of people we're looking for. And then we bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
Well, in a perfect world, which we all know doesn't happen in our industry, in a perfect world, everything that we put out there is what they will receive when they come in the door. I don't think anyone, or very few people in our industry, would intentionally mislead someone. So I think if we're putting something out there, whether it would be to a potential teacher or a potential family, I think that is really what we want at our core and what we really want to be able to provide. I think we have to be mindful of, is there a big discrepancy when they come in the door? Or if there is, of maybe just acknowledging it. You know, if someone comes to us because they saw our beautiful website, of saying, oh my goodness, I know this two-year-old room is crazy right now, but come back and let's revisit it at group time or something like that. Of sometimes we have to acknowledge and be honest about our flaws so that we say, yep, we get it. We're real here. You know,
right.
we didn't just get you in the door with mm-hmm. one thing, and now we're going to give you something different. I also say to a lot of people who come in that are new, I share with them what my vision is. And I admit, we're not quite there yet, but this is what I want you to help us build. And for some people, that's no, thank you. You know, I want to come into it ready to go. But I feel like for the right person, when you are real and honest with them mm-hmm. about that, and they can maybe see a part of that, then I think that's really inspiring to them, inviting to them.
It is. And one thing that I've done is like picking a really specific quality that they have yes. and saying, okay, so yeah. your positivity.
Yes.
That is the culture we're trying to build. Mm-hmm. We're in the process now.
Right.
So there are days that you're going to see people that may not be the right. positive, you know, right. demeanor that we want. But that specific quality and characteristic in you mm-hmm. is what we need.
Right.
And so basically you're getting them excited because like they're yes. coming in with a quality that,
yes.
yeah, that no one else has. And it's like, right. you want that from me. And right. and getting them to just get really excited about yeah. it. So that when they do start, they know yep. that they have to yes. be that role model in that area.
Right.
Well, and we know that a lot of people, when they are looking for a job, they're not looking for a job. They're looking for a career. They're looking for a place to make a difference and make an impact. And if you can identify that in the interview process, like, this is what we like. This is what we're looking for. This is why yes. you're going to help our team.
Yes.
You know, then you know, we maybe won't have that retention problem. You know, right. they might not be like, well, this isn't what I had in mind. If you are upfront and... you know, we're working on it. We're not there yet. This is how you're going to help us get there.
Yes.
That whole yes. thing, I think that can change things.
And one other point to kind of go along with that, Justina, is I think about like a 2-year-old teacher that we hired recently about highlighting what quality she has. She is just a really loving, caring, wants to do the right thing for these kiddos. She doesn't have the education or the experience that we would ideally want from a 2-year-old, but we are honing in on that with her, and then we are telling her, we're going to support you in providing the rest of it. Another mistake that I think a lot of us make is thinking that we can train someone like that in a week. I think that does such a disservice to teachers who have been in it, like us, for as long as we have. If we could train them in a week, that totally diminishes what I've built my whole career on. So I don't want them to think.
I think that's a whole separate blog.
Okay,
that's like a whole pod. No. Like,
we're writing
going.
This down.
I'm like, that's a whole podcast in itself.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you.
No, I think it's just, and I think it's a relief off of them that they don't feel like they failed us, because after 2 weeks, we're going to have them in a room by themselves. But after 2 weeks, should they know everything there is to know about DAP, about portfolios, about child development? And then you factor in knowing everything there would be to know about our own policies and licensing. And hey, guess what? We're going through accreditation. You have to know this too. You know, of letting them know you have that essential quality, like you just talked about, and we're going to build on that. And we're going to support you and nurture you in every other way.
And I think, just like you said, just having the conversation. Because
yes.
sometimes you hope it's implied, like, yes, we're going to train you. But to say, it's not going to be 2 days, it's not going to be three, it's not going to be a week, it's going to be a month, 2 months. Like, we're going to build on
yes.
it. It's going to be overwhelming at first because it's a lot of information. But know that we're here for you, we're going
right.
to partner with you, and we're going to work through that with you.
Right, because I think one of the trends that we're finding is, and you mentioned this earlier, is that in conversations that we had, that we're not just hiring that 4-year degree teacher.
Right.
Or that the associate
right.
early education person. We're having to go outside the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about what you do when you get someone in. Why bring someone in that doesn't have that early education background?
Right. I partner quite a bit with some of the technical colleges, if you still even call them that anymore, in the area. And once in a while, we will get a great practicum student that decides to stay on with us. And but just because their classroom time is done, or just because they've had the 3 classes that they need to be considered a lead teacher, I feel like that time in the classroom and watching a really, really good veteran teacher, job shadowing them, having them get little pieces of information here and there, are so much more important than just, and I'm not minimizing that classroom education and how important a formal education can be. But I think that what we're finding, there's things that we can teach them. There are classes that they can take. There's online classes, in-person classes. And then there's just certain things that you have to experience. You have to go through it on your own to know how you're going to handle this. Because a lot of those situations occur once in a lifetime and you can't write them up, you know, and you can't read how to form a nurturing relationship with a really challenging child. Mm-hmm. You have to be in there doing it. You have to see ways that someone else does it. So that was why I started taking a lot of those mentoring courses and figuring out different ways to relate to different individuals. What works for one won't work for someone else. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is a piece that we could really hone in on more. And I think some of our teachers, some of our veteran teachers in the state interview, one of the things that they highlight is what a teacher needs in the first year, first couple of years, a lot of support, a lot of nurturing, handholding, and then what they need beyond that. And for a lot of them, it is to find different ways to feel valued, to feel challenged. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't want to become a director. Maybe that position is full. Right, right. But how else can we utilize them? So I love utilizing them as mentor teachers for those new employees who are going to say, you know, formal education isn't for me. I want to stay in this. I want to move up. I want to move up in the registry. I want to move up in my pay scale. But show me different ways to get there beyond going and getting my associate's degree in early childhood.
Right. I think that was a game changer for our center, right, Justina? Mm-hmm. We started a peer mentor program.
Oh.
This was back...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, way back when.
Okay.
And I don't take credit for it. We just had a great leadership team. Justina was part of it. And we were worried about losing some really valuable people mm-hmm. because we did not have a director seat or a position for them to necessarily move up into. And so to utilize their talents, we looked at, well, you are fabulous at portfolios.
Right.
Or you are amazing at infant procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were a peer mentor over something real specific.
Yeah.
So that when a new hire came in that was exposed to one of those areas,
mm-hmm.
you know, they weren't just getting training from the director or training from the curriculum director. They were actually getting training from a peer that's in the trenches with them.
Right.
That, you know, has the bruises in the t-shirt and mm-hmm. been there, done that. But that was really, I think... another thing that made that so successful is the peer mentors, we empowered them in terms of, you know, every quarter we had a peer mentor leadership meeting.
Right. Yeah.
So they felt like they would come back with suggestions like, this is what we're experiencing. This is recommendations we have. Here's the support that you can give us.
Yeah.
And just letting them kind of take ownership over it.
Right.
I just wanted to backtrack for a second because you mentioned the registry and not everyone knows what that is. So can you just kind of explain, because that's, I think
it's Wisconsin
specific to Wisconsin mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure Minnesota has one too, but not everyone has a registry. It. So
yes.
Do you want to just elaborate on what that is? And
I won't do it justice. I'm sure I will mess something up about what it is. But it kind of oversees all early childhood within the state of Wisconsin and assigns you a level based on your education and based on your experience. So it will highlight what qualifications someone has. It will say for a lead teacher, an assistant teacher, or a director over 51 students. So it's what they use as their benchmark for.
And then that can kind of come into play with accreditation at some point in time, too. Yeah. So it kind of all ties together.
Right. It qualifies you, basically.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Keeps a scorecard.
Yes. Yes, it's a scorecard. That's a really good way to put it.
It's a lot of work to keep updated. But so in terms of, you know, you've got the person in, we talked about onboarding, and I think you had a really good statement in terms of, you know, it's on you. It's on us.
Right, right. I think before the podcast, when we were talking a little bit about the direction that this wanted to go or how we wanted to wrap it up, I do think that is something I would really like to see more change in. You know, it's wonderful when individuals walk in our door and they've had all those classes that they need and they are ready to roll. But I also think that's just not happening. So how are we adapting to that? And how are we meeting you know, we always say we should meet children where they're at. And how are we doing that with the potential teachers that come in our door? How are we meeting them where they're at? Because mm-hmm. if they have a lot of those character traits that we know that we need, the rest of it, I feel like we can provide them. We can think of creative ways to give them an hour or two to work on some classwork. We can provide them with another peer mentor that could maybe help support them in that. We can offer ongoing training. Speaking of the registry, we can seek out trainings that they get that are for credit, right. and that will help them yeah. along the way. It takes a while when you do it that way, but that is still building them up in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So maybe for someone coming into that's new to early childhood education or has been out of it for a long, long time, maybe that is enticing to them. Maybe that's their currency.
So what do you do in terms of getting your teachers excited to help you with that onboarding process? You know, because they have a role in it too.
They definitely have a role in it. And sometimes that can be challenging. I think that's a little bit of, you know, the proof is in the pudding, to use an old-fashioned phrase. I think when they see how it benefits them, because at the end of the day, some of that matters too. But I think that when they see us building a good, strong team, and again, that stronger together comes into play, they see that their classroom management is better. Things are going better in their classroom. They see, mm-hmm. oh, this person, maybe I was a little cranky coming into this because they got 2.5 days a week and I'm stuck here, I'm here 5 days a week. You know what I mean? But when they see how that can benefit the whole team in terms of someone getting out early every day, someone getting an extra lesson plan, a little bit of lesson planning time, when they can see how that benefits not only our school, but that benefits them personally, I think they get on board with it a lot quicker. So I do think it's on us as leaders to show them that and to build that camaraderie.
Right.
And I think you touched on this just a little bit about essentially being fair.
Right.
You know, where the one person, like, well, they only work 2 days and, you know, I work five and they get this shift and I don't and I've been here longer. Like, how do you navigate that nice. When...
So, Justina, I love it when these questions just lead me right to a new topic, or it circles back around, because it circles back around to what's your currency. And then I can sit down with maybe the teacher who isn't feeling good about that and say, tell me about that. Do you just want 2.5 days a week? And I can guarantee you they're going to say, no, I need my paycheck. I need 5 days. So it's probably not even what they're saying that they were upset about to begin with. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to set aside the 5-10 minutes that it takes to find out what about that bothers you. You know, right. if we're paying someone $3 more an hour to do our after school care, but they only work 2 hours a day. Yep, they might be making more than a teacher that's been there for 5 years. But then I can have that conversation with them and say, would you like that role? You know, it's a tough one to fill. And if you want it, great.
You don't get benefits or...
Exactly. That's just it. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't their currency. Mm-hmm. They probably needed the benefits or the paycheck from 5 days a week,
right.
you know, 8 hours a day. But they're going to get some other benefits from it. They're going to get, which just happened last week, and it was 4:30 on Monday. And because we did hire some of those atypical candidates... we were able to go around the school and say, would you like to leave now? The roads are looking bad. Would you like to leave? Because we hired this high school student to come over for just these 2 hours. So I think when everyone knows what our intentions are too, that's helpful, you know, that we are looking out for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think they want to just feel special. Mm-hmm. I think that's ultimately, like, they want to be heard and they want to be feel special. So as soon as you can, you know, acknowledge them.
Right.
And what they think is their concern,
exactly.
but really it's,
yes,
they want yeah. it to be fair and they
right.
want you to know
right.
that,
and
hey, are you thinking about me?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem when it's unreasonable, but I have to say those have been so few and far between. It usually
right.
is, we made a change with a teacher who just wasn't working out great in a classroom, and she was at first really, really angry with me for taking her out of her classroom. And I said, this isn't a punishment. I'm not punishing you for this. You are showing me, you're telling me with the way that your classroom is running, that this isn't the right fit for you. And we found a much better fit for her, and she cooled down after just a few days of it and thanked us for seeing that wasn't the right fit for her.
Hmm, that's good.
I feel like that could be a whole other topic.
Okay, we've got a couple more.
We've got a couple more podcasts.
All right, honey, how much time do you have today? I'm just kidding.
No, so just to circle back around, you know,
yes.
You have done such a great job influencing change in your staffing you. Situation. And I know it's not done. You
no.
know,
mm-hmm.
your work is never done.
No.
But I just want to encourage you, just in what we've seen at your center, you know, the strides that you've made, the fact that you know those needs are there.
Right.
Like, that's number one. And then you're communicating that yeah. with your center directors.
Right.
And
right.
they know what's going on. Because that's a whole nother
sure.
that's a whole nother piece of it is, like, what are you doing with the information that you're grabbing from these classrooms, from these teachers, and how are you sharing that with your leadership to help improve and make additional changes in your center?
And are you asking me how am I doing that?
Yes, a
yeah.
little. I think
yeah.
we'll end on that.
Okay. Well, it's funny how many things from the top down or from the bottom up, especially in our industry, what works for one works for the other. So what works for me with teachers is when I can really sit down and get to know them and work with them. What works for teachers is when they do that with the children. And that's what also works for me and our owner slash director, is just sitting down and knowing where both of us are coming from with this. And then her also respecting, she's me. I'm the one in the trenches with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is that, okay, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm going to trust you that this is what teachers need coming in from the first week. This doesn't always jive real well with the bottom line and payroll and getting teachers in the classroom, but I'm going to trust that this is what you think a good first week of onboarding looks like. And I think that the results are showing that. And time will tell. Some of this doesn't
right.
pay off right away. We might be looking at this a year from now and say, wow, we really changed the way we onboard.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, we've had a lot less turnover. And that's what I hope for.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what your end result
yeah.
is going to be. But we always like to end our podcast with a challenge because
okay.
we, you know, this is Daycare Overhaul. And what we like to do is, you know, what kind of challenge can you give our listeners to overhaul,
right.
you know, their staffing situation?
Okay. I'm changing this from what we talked about initially because we touched on the idea of the challenge that we were going to do. So I would challenge directors and training teachers or mentors to really rethink what that first day or first week looks like. I know everyone has got the stack of manuals that they have to go through, and did we do Shake and Baby, and did we do Mandated Reporter, and did we go through the licensing checklist? But of really take a look at what that first week looks like, and what relationships did you develop? Did you develop with that new hire yourself? Did you kind of hook them up with a mentor teacher or someone that you know will take them out to lunch? And shake up what that first week looks like. If you don't get to some of your licensing policies with that teacher, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they're with someone else in a classroom who does know all of that, but they've gotten to meet six different families and bond with a few kids, I think that will hook them a lot faster than sitting in an office by themselves looking at a screen for 6 hours.
I agree. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So just try something different.
Love it.
One different thing, yeah.
Well, thanks for meeting us here in Miami.
Thank you. No, this was a tough assignment.
I know it was difficult to meet at the beach.
Right.
And but no, we really appreciate
right.
you and your expertise
you.
And your time
yes.
today. And we look forward to releasing this podcast for our listeners. And
honestly, I'm sure we're probably going to get a lot of questions from it, so there's probably going to be like a part two, part
okay.
three, part four of Heidi.
Well,
like,
go easy on me. This was new.
We'll do like an Ask Heidi segment. So if you have any questions,
oh.
be sure to email us at info@daycareoverhaul.com. So you'll notice if you listen to previous ones, it's a new email address specific to us. So info@daycareoverhaul.com.
Right, because Childcare Biz Help, you know, is our parent company. And this podcast is presented by Childcare Biz Help. But it is called Daycare Overhaul. So we definitely want you to give us some feedback. And you know, share with us some of your wins, you know, overhaul wins. If you've listened to something that Heidi mentioned and you decide to start implementing it and you have success, we'd love to hear about it. And then...
Well, and Heidi will be really excited.
Yes. She'll be emotional. Yeah. She'll be in the corner crying.
All teachers are in the corner crying at some point.
No, but I actually look forward to having you back again and just talking about other stuff, because I think that you're just a wealth of knowledge to us, to your center, and to, you know, everybody out there.
Great. Well, follow us on social and listen to us on wherever podcasts are available.
And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.